Today on Life Talk.
When our money is submitted to God, so is our heart. You say, where do you get that? I got that from the words of Jesus Christ, who said, wherever your treasure is, wherever your money is, whatever your checkbook shows your money went to, that will be the primo way we will discover the desires of your heart.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire. We come this time to the final message in our Piercing the Darkness series, and we're going to be talking about the importance of giving. Jesus talked a lot about giving. He said that where our hearts are, that is where you will find our treasure. He taught that we should be rich toward God. Now today we're going to see that a church that truly pierces the darkness will be a giving church. In fact, one of the first things that happened to the early church was an explosion of giving after the Holy Spirit had fallen. So let's jump right into our final Piercing the Darkness message entitled, The Power of the Tithe.
When I say the word tithe, what goes through your mind? Is there an immediate sort of anti-reaction where you go, ah, tithe, yeah, here goes another preacher talking about money? If you've been coming here any period of time at all, you know I never talk about money. I've never preached on the tithe. Just want to settle that. You're not in one of those places. But now when I say the word tithe, what goes through your mind? What happens in your heart? Does it rejoice? Do you have a positive reaction? Oh, praise God, it's time to be able to give to the Lord. Or is there a pulling back? Is there sort of a cringing? Or is there just nothing? What about in your mind? What do you think? Is there confusion about the tithe? Do you wonder if it's valid? Do you wonder if it's New Testament? Is it something that God asks his people to do today? Well, I want to answer these questions. We've been talking in the last 5 weeks about the church that pierces the darkness. Today I want to talk to you about the power of the tithe. The power. And let's look at one of the most familiar passages on the tithe in all the Bible. Malachi 3:10. Let's see what the Bible says about the tithe. It says, bring all the tithes, where everybody? Into the storehouse. So there will be enough food in my temple. So the tithe is to take care of the maintenance of the temple. If you do, now that's what you call a conditional promise. If you do something, God will do something. Conditional promise. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will. Everybody say, I will. Look what God says he'll do. I will open the windows of heaven for you. What does that mean? You've got to come next week to hear that one. But something good is going to happen because God says, I will open the windows of heaven for you. And then a second, I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. How many would like that kind of blessing? All right. Now, this is out of the same Bible that gave us John 3:16. This is the same Bible, same word. He said, now this is the power of the tithe. I will open, I will pour. I will open, I will pour. And then he says, and I don't know another place where this is in the Bible, he says, try it. And then he says, put me to the test. Wow, that is God saying, I double dog dare you. Okay? Father, thank you for the power of the tithe. And we pray you'll bless this word in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, grab hold of the edges of your seats. This is going to be good. Let me talk to you about the power of the tithe, the power of the tithe. In the last few weeks, we've seen that a church that pierces the darkness will have some characteristics about it. There's two kinds of churches in our culture today, those that are caving in to the pressure of the culture and those that are piercing the darkness of the culture. We want to be the second kind, the latter. We want to pierce this present darkness of the culture. We want to drive darkness back. We want to see the word of the Lord prevail. Well, here's some of the characteristics. The church that pierces the darkness will know how to turn pain into gain. They will learn to suffer to the glory of God and turn pain into gain. The second characteristic, they will stay with the word of God. The church that pierces the darkness will stay with the word of God no matter what the consequences. Third, the church that pierces the darkness will resist and defy political correctness. I like that one. Fourth, the church that pierces the darkness will utilize the power of praise. The church that pierces the darkness will understand that praise is not just something we do, but it's a weapon in our warfare to defeat the enemy. And then we looked at the church that pierces the darkness will be promised land thinkers. Now today I want to talk to you about the darkness-piercing church is going to be the church that is a tithing church. I don't know of a church that's really making an impact for God that is not a tithing church. Today we're going to see that God puts a blessing. How many of you would like God involved in your finances? All right, you know what debt is? Debt is an acronym that means did everything but tithe. That's debt. Did everything but tithe. Remember that. Now, here's the fact of the matter. Let me tell you the truth about you and I. When our money is submitted to God, so is our heart. You say, well, where do you get that? I got that from the words of Jesus Christ, who said, wherever your treasure is, wherever your money is, whatever your checkbook shows your money went to, that will be the primo way we will discover the desires of your heart, where your affections lie. Wherever your treasure is, there are the desires of your heart. Your affections will also be. Matthew 6:21, Jesus. And God must hold first place when it comes to our money. I've noticed when God gets somebody's pocketbook, when he gets their checkbook, he's got them. Jesus said, inescapable fact of life, you cannot serve both God and money. It will not work. And there are people who go to church all the time, but they serve money. They don't serve God, they serve money. They serve chasing that dollar. But I'm going to tell you, wherever your desire is where your pursuit in life is also going to be. What are you chasing? Whatever you're chasing is going to be a real indicator of what you love. And what you love is either God or you love things. You love materialism. And so God wants to have our heart. How many of you know that? God calls we Christians to use some of our resources for his kingdom's work. He just does. Because whatever we give to, guess what? We empower it to continue. Whatever we give to, we enable that thing to continue. Let me give you an example. When you go to a certain restaurant that you like, and you go over and over again, that manager grows to love you. You know why? Because when you go to that restaurant and you eat that food, you put money there. And when you put money there, you empower that restaurant to stay open, to continue. Wherever your money goes, you empower it to continue. So where does your money go? God wants some of the resources of every believer who names the name of Christ. He wants some of our resources going towards the work of God. Because whatever we give to, we enable it, we empower it, we charge it to continue. We should care enough for God's work, everybody, to finance it. We should. You know that last week, we had 14 people come down to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. That means because you tithed, people got saved. Because you tithed in 5 states in the Midwest on 32 radio stations, people heard the word of God, were delivered, were saved, were encouraged, had light shining into the darkness of their life. Here in the Metroplex, 6 in the morning, 6 in the evening, 5 days a week, 1 hour a day in rush hour traffic, we are encouraging, ministering to, feeding thousands of God's people and the lost. Because you tithe, that empowered us to continue. Very little can be done without money. Very little on this earth can be done without money. Every week, We do witness people getting saved because you gave. But it takes money to pay the mortgage, keep the lights on, keep the AC going in the summer, and keep the heat going in the winter. It takes money. It takes the tithe. And that is why God gave the tithe. Now, with that in mind, let me give you some statistics, because I was wondering, what is it like nationally when it comes to the tithe? What's going on in God's church? How are people giving? And I looked for somebody who had polled the populace for that, and the Barna Group had done so. And the Barna Group published research on tithing in the United States, and this came out in the year 2007. Here's what Barna discovered about tithing in the United States. In 2007, 84% of U.S. adults donated money to churches or nonprofit organizations. Donated money, but only 5% tithed. 84% of U.S. adults donated some money to a charity or to a church, but only 5% of those adults tithe. Now, let me run some numbers for you. There's 300 million people in America. You take 300 million, 10% of that, and then 5% of that, that means 15 million people out of 300 million tithe. Now, if you extrapolate those numbers and you go to how many people are in churches every Sunday nationwide, it is millions and millions, way, way, way over 15 million. But 15 million people who darken the door of a church tithed out of 300 million. Barna then analyzed which demographic groups tithe the most and which ones tithe the least. What did it come out to? Well, in religious circles, here's how it broke down. 24% of evangelicals topped the list as tithers. So a quarter, one-fourth of evangelicals tithed. 12% of people who have prayed, read the Bible, and attended a church service during the past week tithed. 11% of charismatic or Pentecostal Christians tithed. 11%. So out of the 100% of charismatic Pentecostal Christians who God saved, God got a tithe out of them. 10% of them tithed. 9% of all born-again adults tithe. 8% of Protestants tithe. Are you ready for this? 2% of Catholics tithe. Ouch! Particularly based on the next stat. 1% of atheists and agnostics gave away a tenth of their money. Ouch! Now, let me go a little bit further politically. How did it break down politically? It broke down this way. 12% of conservatives tithed. 10% of registered Republicans tithed. 1% of liberals tithed. But wait a minute. I thought liberals had a corner on compassion. I get it. They just like giving away our tax dollars. What was I thinking? Don't get me on that one. In general, here's the way it breaks down. 5% of adults tithed 10%. 1% or less of those whose annual income was less than $20,000 and had not attended college. 1% of those tithed. 1% or less of people under the age of 25 tithed. Come on, young adults. And then 1% or less of single adults who had never been married tithed. You singles, you need to get married. Can I have an amen?
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, here's a couple of things that stun me about those statistics. Here they are. It's stunning that the percentage of Catholics tithing is not much higher than the percentage of atheists and agnostics. Now, also surprising to me is that conservatives out-tithe liberals. by at least 12 to 1. So let it be officially noted that liberals do not have a corner on the compassion market. Because 12 to 1, conservatives over liberals, 12 to 1 are givers. But here's what surprised me the most, that only 1 in 100 people younger than 25 tithe. Hey, young adults, you need God on your money. You need God in your finances. Don't fall into that statistic. Start giving to God now. And the same is true for singles who have never been married. Now, if you're new to this, what is a tithe? What does it mean when somebody says tithe? Here you go. Tithing refers to the practice of giving at least 10% of one's income back to God to be used in ministry. Now, notice I said back to God. You're giving 10% back to God who gave you the 100%. Now, for some of you, this is going to be a real revelation and an education, but information brings inspiration. So I want you to get this now. See, God gave you the 100%. Does anybody in here not know that? That you have what you have because God has blessed you? All right? If you believe God gave you the 100%, say amen.
Amen.
He gave you the strength to get up, the gift to work. He gave you the ability to get there. And you may not like the job, but take that job and love it. Because God gave it to you. Maybe he's going to give you another one later, but he gave you what you've got. Now, the word tithe means tenth. That's what it means. Hebrew word is translated into tithe. It means tenth. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded by God to give 10% of their income of crops, making it possible. Now, they were agrarian. They were farmers. And God said, I want you to give 10% of your income or your crops, making it possible for the priests to feed the poor and receive support for their living expenses. That's what God did in the Old Testament. So the tithe was used to finance ministry. Ministry. Listen to the Bible. Quote, Leviticus 27, the entire tithe of the herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. So if you were a rancher, when you had cattle, you gave a tenth of them to the temple for the use of the ministry. And you got to keep 90. God could have said, give 90 and you get to keep 10. But God gave us everything and said, I want a tenth. Now, in case you think the Old Testament is the only place you find the principle of tithing, let's look at the verse again that we read to take up the tithe today. You are careful, Jesus said, to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, which are justice, mercy, and faith. The Pharisees were ignoring justice, mercy, and faith, but they were tithers. And Jesus said, you're right on that one. You should tithe. But don't neglect the more important things, justice, mercy, and faith. Moses instructed the people, watch this, a tithe of everything. Everybody say the word everything. He didn't say some things. He didn't say a few things. He said everything, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. Animals, grain, and fruit were all tithed back to the Lord. Now, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to show you something. I brought some cows with me. And I'm going to ask my cameraman to pan right on these cows. Everybody see these cows? Say moo. There they are. Aren't those pretty cows? Now, there's 10 of them. Now, here's the way God wants you to look at it. He said, now, when I bless you with 10 cows, he said, I want you to take one of those cows right there, and I want you to move him over to the church, the work of God. Everybody say, I see that. And then you're supposed to say, thank you, Lord, for 9 cows. And I sow this one cow into the work of God. Now, I also brought with me some corn. Because if I'm a farmer, I'm raising this corn. There's 10 ears of corn in here. What does God say? When I give you 10 ears of corn, you are to take... Well, there's about 2 people said one. I know we're good at math here. Let's try it again.
One.
Out of how many?
10.
Because one is how much percent?
10.
And... you are to take it and put it right there. And I get to keep 9 ears of corn. Thank you, God. Thank you for 9 ears of corn. Now watch. Now, let's bring it over into our day. I have 10 $1 bills in my hand. I get paid $10. Everybody say, that's a bad day at the office. But let's just say I get paid, keep it real simple, I get paid $10. Now, what does God say? You've got $10 in your hand. What are you going to do with that? Take one and run it over here and sow it into the church. And then I get to keep $9. Hallelujah. I get to keep nine. So the tithe means when I get paid, if I'm a farmer, you go sell the corn and you give the cattle. But in our day, you get paid. When I get paid, I get a certain amount. Then run the numbers, get 10%. I take it out and I say, thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. I believe in your work. I believe in reaching people. I believe in people being saved like I was. You have told me to be generous with my money because you've been generous with me. So, Lord, here I am. I'm giving 10% of it and I get to keep nine. Pay the bills, pay the mortgage, pay the kids' school, take care of myself. Thank you, Lord, that I get to keep nine, because he could have said, give me 50%. Give me 60, give me 70, but he didn't. He said, just 10. Now, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to show you the power of the tithe. Because how many of you know that we need to get our finances in order, especially in our current culture? We better get our finances in order. And when somebody comes to me and they say, man, am I having financial trouble? The first thing I want to know from them is this. Have you been a tither? More times than not, I'll hear, well, no, not really. Have you ever been a tither? No, well, not really. Then the way you get your money in order, because God wants to bless it, and I'm going to show you that in a minute, is you start tithing. Because that releases God on your business. But now, let me meddle a little bit. Can I meddle a little bit? Pastor, you're already meddling as far as I'm concerned. Well, watch this. Here's the rub. We're okay when it's $1 out of $10. Right, we don't have much problem with that. $1 out of $10, I can give $1 out of $10. Now, let's pretend that these are $10 bills. So I got 100. And you say, I don't mind. I can give $10 out of $100. That's not that big a deal. But then let's pretend these are thousands. I got $10,000 in my hand. Something happens. Something happens when we're dealing in thousands or millions instead of hundreds and tens. Something happens in our heart. Something happens the way we think. We go, well, I give $1 out of 10, or I can give $10 out of 100. 1,000 out of 10,000, you know what I could do with $1,000? I could get that flat screen TV. I could pay some. There's so much I could do with $1,000. But then when we move into the arena of 100,000, God really wants me to give $10,000 out of 100. We start saying, wait a minute, this can't be right. Surely God doesn't expect me to give that much. Let's flip this notion for a minute. What if God thought that way about you? I don't mind giving them 10. I don't mind giving them 100. But you know, looking down there at the way that they do, and I don't know if I should give 1,000 to them. And I'm sure I'm not going to give them 10,000 and 1,000,000. Forget it. I'm not going to be that generous with them. What if God was toward us the way we are towards him? Because now I got 1,000,000 in my hand. And that means 100,000 of it is God's. And I'm going, but 10% of 10 is the same as 10% of 100 is the same as 10% of 1,000 or 100,000 or 1,000,000 in God's eyes. Because he didn't say, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse unless you make a certain amount. What if he said, I better not give that child of mine that much money? 100's okay, 1,000's okay, but I can't give him any more than that. I really shouldn't bless him like that. That's just too much. What we say sometimes when faced with tithing a large sum, God does not likewise say when it comes to blessing us with a large sum, because God's been generous with us.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.